Hello and welcome to Studio Branschkoll. We are the leading news and information service for the print, pack and promotional industry in Sweden. We do this podcast but also publish information on branschkoll.se along with several weekly newsletters. Our guest today is CEO and founder of the software company Gelato, who recently released a brand new service, Gelato Connect, which is set to make life easier for print service providers and to raise their margins. Henrik Müller Hansen join us from his studio in Oslo, and myself is in Stockholm. Let's go. I say welcome to Henrik Müller Hansen, CEO and founder of Gelato. I saw that earlier this week, or was it last week, you released a brand new service called Gelato Connect. And I got curious and I thought it was a good time to catch up again and talk a bit about what has happened since last time and what is Gelato Connect and why is it important?
Thanks, Ola. I appreciate everything you do for this industry. I think the newsletters and the podcasts are doing is driving a lot of energy into this print industry. So I'm looking forward to the chat.
Perfect. But before we dive in on the new stuff you do, let's just do a short recap. How about that?
Sure.
Yeah. Last time we did a podcast a couple of years ago, you described Gelato in one sentence, and it was the world's biggest print cloud with local production in 30 countries. How is that different today, or is it different?
I think that's still very true. Today we're operating in 32 countries, and we have 140 production hubs connected to the network. And the power of that, of course, is if you think about what has happened since we last spoke, the creator economy with Shopify, Etsy, entrepreneurs going online, selling to the world of consumers has just exploded. So the local production element is more important now than ever before. So I think that the whole digital print industry stands before the most significant growth opportunity since I founded the company 15 years ago.
Okay, yes, you have always said that the growth potential in the printing industry is enormous.
Yeah, and just if you think about it, Ola, how many people today, you have children, I have children, how many of those next generation representatives want to buy a standardized mass-produced T-shirt, halfway around the world, shipped to 100 countries, compared to designing it on your own and having a local entrepreneur or business produce it in Stockholm or in Oslo, where we are sitting today, and then ship it overnight, fueling the local ecosystem of businesses, designing on your own. Like, it's just every single macro trend is driving towards our benefit and our advantage. And on top of it all, it has massive positive impacts for sustainability.
So the growth potential you see is even bigger now than in the beginning? Or?
Yes, because you know what I underestimated? I mean, Wayne Gretzky said, skate to where the puck is going, not where it's at. But what I think I have underestimated since day one is the machine vendor's capability of innovating. And the production capabilities that I see today, we just connected the first Landa in October, the new Landa machine in October. It saved our Christmas market in the US, like literally, because the demand was so big that we would not have been able to produce what the customers sold or bought on our platform if it weren't for the new Landa machine. But it hasn't been defined by Landa. It's been defined by Canon, by Ricoh, by, you know, I just met the chairman of Brother in Amsterdam last week at FESPA, by HP Indigo, by Cornet, Ovaljet. Like, new technology is coming everywhere. And then we haven't even spoken about 3D printing. I visited Germany a couple of months ago to some of the world's best 3D printing plants. It's like, if you would go there, you would be shocked. Like, what is going to happen with in, I would say, 3 to 5 years. And I know we've always spoken about 3D printing, right? But that comes on top of all the capabilities that we already have access to. And then if you think about the size of this industry, the production on demand industry, it's gone into art, it's gone into apparel, it's gone into home decor, it's in books. It's like everywhere we look around us, you have personalized products that you can buy and produce on demand. That size of this industry is like 5 times the total global music industry. So I think, again, I don't think I've ever been more excited than I am today about the growth opportunities ahead. Now, there comes challenges with that, and we'll speak about this, because Gelato Connect, our production platform that we're launching now, is of course an enabler for a local production hub in Stockholm, in Oslo, or anywhere else in the world to get access from, you know, being an isolated island to actually being connected to the world and being able to receive e-commerce volume from countries and consumers across the planet.
Is it time to change the name of the industry to production industry, or?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I often tell this story, but when I called my mother and said I've resigned as CEO for Tele2 in Norway, she began to cry because she felt I would bring misery upon my family. But then she asked me, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't have a clue. And then I went studying for like half a year. I read everything I could get my hands on. And I came to the conclusion that the most interesting business to go into is printing. So I called my mother back and I said, I'm going into printing. And then she started to cry uncontrollably, right? Because she said to me, printing is dead. No one is printing anything any longer, Henrik. But then when I start to speak to people outside of our world, and actually it's not about printing, it's about production on demand and producing everything we have around us on demand in your city. Then everything changes. Everyone becomes like, wow, that is super interesting. Production, yeah. So you can produce this and that. And I say printing, people fall asleep or they get a heart attack.
We see now coming up against Drupa for the first time in 8 years, machine vendors are doing big launches, maybe even bigger than people thought there should be. Is this something that you expected, how do you see that?
It's interesting, Ola, and I alluded to it previously also in the podcast that I am so impressed with what the machine vendors have been able to create in terms of technology and capabilities. But why? It's so evident that if you think about Shopify, you think about Etsy, you think about PayPal, you think about Klarna, the creator economy, the entrepreneurship across the planet, you add the COVID pandemic that fueled people to go online to find their own businesses. I spoke previously about the size of this market. So we are going to add, according to estimations, between 2022 and 2027, $90+ billion in the production on demand digital print industry. $90 billion. The total music industry globally is $41 billion. So we're doubling, more than doubling, the size of the music industry. That is just the add-on. It comes on top. And so, of course, capital, innovation, capabilities is flocking to the digital print industry. I was just last week in Amsterdam and I met the chairman of Brother and they showed me what they have now developed. I was floored. Like, you can produce embroidery in a way that was just breathtaking. You have pins that the machine takes a photo, and less than 30 seconds after, you have a pin with that photo, perfectly produced. And the list just went on and on and on. I did foil of my business cards in like less than 10 seconds of an already produced business card. So what this basically means, we're also adding margin opportunities, profitability opportunities into this industry. So the new capabilities in the hands of a creator, in the hands of an internet entrepreneur, is going to be one of our best companions in the digital print industry. So I think the machine vendors, hats off to the machine vendors, because I think after all, Gelato is nothing without our partners and without the machines that our partners have invested in.
But listening to you talking about this, I realize it's also for print service providers, it's a kind of a new market. It's something new, that it's not like what they did 10 or 20 years ago, printing ink on paper for clients that they talk to on the phone. It's something new.
Well, I would say that, you know, objectively speaking, not so much has changed in the actual production. I think what has changed is the demand generation. The demand generation today happens over completely new platforms. Shopify, Amazon, Etsy, Gelato, where great entrepreneurs and internet players can offer their services to billions of people across the planet. Then we, being Gelato now, we standardize all these orders. We bundle all these orders. And then we ship it to local production partners in our network all across the planet. Now, if you think about that, it was very bespoke. Like 10 years ago, you picked up the phone, you spoke to Atlas Copco or ABB or, you know, the big companies, and you went back and forth. And then after a while, you had a ready-to-print file, you printed it somewhere, and then you shipped it out to 60 countries. Everything of that, what I just described, I believe is the wrong way of doing business. It's the wrong way of scaling your company. So what we are doing is we're standardizing, we're simplifying, and we're globalizing the print-on-demand business and the print-on-demand industry. So the consequence of that is, if we just take HG Media, which is a production hub that is connected to Gelato outside of Oslo. I did a podcast with Jørn, the CEO there, last week, and he basically says that without Gelato, we could never access the e-commerce industry. Without Gelato, we would never be able to get demand from entrepreneurs that are selling to Norwegian customers from Canada, from Australia, from France, from Germany. And so all of a sudden, the production hub that is connected to Gelato in Oslo is actually connected to the whole world of e-commerce. That's a massive shift. But the way HG Media is producing in their machine, that has not changed. So for me, it's about demand generation. It's about connecting the local production partner to the global e-commerce industry and the local entrepreneur to the local maker, producer in Oslo.
So it's a new demand, sort of. It's a demand that weren't there before because it wasn't possible.
No one collected all these orders and shipped it to the recipient's country. It doesn't make any sense if a Norwegian or Swedish, and since you're sitting in Stockholm and I'm sitting in Oslo, I take that as an example, but if a Norwegian consumer or a Swedish consumer is buying on the internet, why should that product be produced somewhere half across the planet and shipped to you 10 days later? So all of those older ways of manufacturing does not belong in today's tech world. And I would also say that kind of, and this is my thesis at least, it changes the way you look at competition. You and I, Ola, over the years, I've always been amazed at how much internal conflicts there is in this industry. And somehow there is like this zero-sum game. And what I mean by the zero-sum game is that for one printer to win, the others need to lose. And I just struggle with that concept. And I've always struggled with that. Because I think the competition is not printer against printer. The competition is the digital production on demand industry competing with the older traditional mass producing retail companies. So I believe that this industry, the production on demand industry, is the real competitors are actually the Walmart, the IKEAs, the H&M, the Zara, the Zalando. Like, those are the companies that either they need to move to a production on demand model, which, by the way, will benefit all of us and also the environment, or I believe they will be outcompeted by more agile digital print capacity in mega cities across the planet, which is another trend I believe in. I don't believe that we should speak about countries. I actually believe that we should speak about mega cities. And in 10 years, you know, in 10 years, I think we'll have 600-800 mega cities in the world. Consumers living in those cities should have their products produced in those cities. I also believe that there is no way for us to combat the environmental challenges and the sustainability targets, the carbon emission targets that, for example, EU has set, which they have now set the target that we should reduce carbon emission by 55% by 2030 in EU. How will we be able to do that without moving production and distribution to the local mega cities? I just don't believe it's possible. So, you know, it's interesting. I think it was Bill Gates that said, people tend to underestimate what they can achieve in terms of innovation over a decade, and they tend to overestimate what they can achieve in a year. I think, like, and you and I have had these discussions over the years, and yeah, I don't want to sound trite or arrogant, but I do think if we go back and listen to the podcast that we did 10 years ago, we have traveled in this direction. And I think it will only accelerate. And I think if we work together and stop having this childish view, in my sense, that we are competing printer against printer, we are actually not competing printer against printer. We're competing against the old manufacturing industry. That's my belief. And that's why we're 1% there. We have all the growth ahead of us. And if we learn how to collaborate and grow together, we are going to see growth and profitability in a way that we've not seen before. Because with personalization, with customization, with the new production technologies comes a willingness to pay more. You know, data indicates also that a sustainable product, consumers accept 15 to 30% markup on a consumer on a product that is sustainably produced and shipped compared to the alternative. So, I mean, everywhere I look, I also see opportunities to improve margins because we give the consumer an ability to personalize each item.
How was your last year? How was 2023?
So 2023, we continue with very, very solid growth in our API business. But we focused last year a lot on the Gelato Connect. So we've spent like 15 years building the software business, connecting the machines and the production hubs, linking it to logistics and our carriers that we have in our network. And during the last 5, 6, 7 years, printers, our partners, have come to us and said, we use your software for the gelato orders, but we would also like to use your software for the non-gelato orders. How can we do that? In total, we have invested somewhere around 3.5 to 4 million development hours in total on our software. We are now, you know, 300 roughly people in Gelato, and most of us are only working on building software. And the background that we have are from tech companies. You know, eBay, Skype, Kinnevik, Tele2, then of course we have other companies also represented in Gelato, but we don't have anyone more or less coming from the print industry. So this comes back to this ability to work together. We are a software company, and I've said that from day one. We don't own any fixed assets. We have no machines that we have invested in. So from day one, and luckily, I didn't understand how difficult it was, right? So the first time I walked into Elanders Novum here in Oslo, and we sat with them for 3+ years next to an HP Indigo, and I think it was an HP Indigo 3000, you know, at that series. And that's how we got started. So we sat day in and day out next to the HP Indigo machine trying to automate every single thing, trying to use software to improve the quality of the files, trying to use software to improve the speed of the cutting, using software to improve the packaging efficiency. Like, so eventually we ended up having a software that more and more partners ping me about, asking, you know, can we use this for the non-Gelato orders? So back in 2022 in August, we said the time has now come to really invest in building Gelato Connect, which is the software, not only the workflow, because the workflow is just one complexity, but also the procurement, and also the logistics. So it's the end-to-end power that is interesting. And let me go through each and every module in the Gelato Connect, because they have three. We have three modules in Gelato
Connect. So you released, did a big press release and lots of communication earlier this week.
Earlier this week. But we worked with a carefully selected group of production partners over the last, I would almost say, year to develop and build this, right? So this is not, you know, this is not theoretical software. This is battle-tested software. This year, we're shipping like way north of 10 million orders across the planet using this software. And in each order, you can have many different t-shirts and hoodies. You can have 50 cards. You can have 10 books. And so like, but conglomerated, you have millions and millions of orders shipped and validated over this software. But let me go back to these different modules.
Yes.
So their Gelato Connect consists of three modules. And if I take the backstory and I go back to Elanders Novum, I go back to the first production partners we connected to Gelato, typically I came into a print business and I saw 80% offset machines, 20% digital machines. And many times there was one brand on the digital machine. And at the time it was typically HP Indigo. They produced mostly paper products. Then what happened? The e-commerce industry exploded. PayPal came, Shopify came. Consumers and entrepreneurs could all of a sudden produce products, personalized products, and sell it to the world of consumers, right? So each production hub realized that we need to expand in terms of production capabilities. So they started to buy different type of machines to support different type of products. So today, if we fast forward 10 years and I go into a typical production hub today, they can have machines from 4 or 5 different vendors. The consequence of that is, you know, I would say threefolded. And I will link it to the three modules. Starting with procurement. What is the procurement module? We have 140 production partners that represent billions of dollars in revenue. And also consequently, when we work together as a network, very interesting sales opportunities for the suppliers that feeds into the printer. So for example, white blank mugs, blank t-shirts, the chemicals, the substrates for the machines. All of that is procured individually today. And the typical size of a production hub can be 10 to 20, up to 50 million euros. Okay? So when they work on their own, most of the time, and for natural reasons, they don't have experts in procurement. They also, per definition, have a limited bargaining power against the big suppliers of blanks on t-shirts or hoodies or mugs and paper and so forth. So when we work together, we have framework agreements that the production partner can come to us and get access to if they become a customer of the procurement module in Gelato Connect. And as this is so interesting, because again, when I started to work at Elanders Novum here in Oslo, the product they stored was paper. Today, when I go to Exacta in Malmö, which is one of our absolute best performing and impressive production hubs, they have procured loads of different products, right? And that makes it hard. If you then have 140 of those production hubs, you need to collect the volume, you need to streamline the procurement, and you need to bring bargaining power to the suppliers, to all of our partners across the planet. So that is the first module. And typically, you know, the price for that module is, you know, there is an annual fee and there is an alternative for a monthly fee. And we're speaking about, you know, 300 to 500 euros per month. But then they get access to our framework agreements. And typically what we see is that the savings are significantly, like we're speaking 5-10x bigger than the cost they're paying to us. Why? Because all of a sudden they're part of a much, much bigger network. Many of the same conditions, if we now move to the next module, which is logistics, okay? And we keep workflow because it's more complicated. But the logistics module and the procurement modules, they're basically just plug and play. You sign up and you can be a partner of Gelato Connect overnight, basically. And you don't even need to be a partner in our network to get access to this. This is the big change that Gelato is doing now. So this is for the whole industry to access. And so the flywheel effect, at Amazon you speak a lot about flywheel effects, right? More volume leads to lower purchasing price for procured items, which leads to the ability to lower price, which brings more volume, and you have a flywheel effect. We're about to bring the same flywheel effect to this industry. On the other side of the value chain, you have logistics. When I sat with Elanders Novum in Oslo, the typical volume for each order was, let's say, 2,000 to 3,000 items. So obviously you had big pallets many times that you shipped. Today, the average batch size has substantially decreased. You can speak about, you know, 3 items up to 100 items. So like, it's by an order of magnitude, many more packages that the average print house needs to take care of and ship. We have automated that whole process. So when you become a Gelato Connect logistics customer, you get access to our scanning tool, you get access to our packaging station technologies, you get access to 60 carrier agreements, and of course if we ship, you know, 10 plus million parcels, you know, the first 5 years when I pinged DHL, I could send 50 emails, no one responded. Now I get 50 emails from DHL asking if they can become part of Gelato. And, you know, when we do deals with the logistic companies, the carrier companies, they really want to be a part of Gelato. That's the difference, right? We have inbound requests to join Gelato Connect. We don't need to send the emails asking if we can get them to sign an agreement. So if you take these 60 carriers and the economies of scale that we have established, all of a sudden we now give that to the world of printers. So you can use our technology, you can use our software, you will speed up the packaging process, but you will also get access to our rates.
So it's buying power in logistics as well?
Well, it's buying power in logistics as well, definitely. But it's software power and buying power in both procurement and logistics. So you have a buying power, but don't underestimate the software power. Because if you then become, and now let's move into the middle, the workflow module. As I said, typically today in the print hubs we visit, there are 3 to 5 machine vendors. Typically today, each has their own software. Each has their own workflow solution. It's expensive, it's ineffective, it many times leads to internal engineering and development resources. And with, you know, just a fact-based, very few printers we meet are software experts. So you many times end up developing things that you wish you would never have developed, because it just does not compute. It's hard. Just as, you know, a production hub and managing a production hub efficiently is difficult, it's also hard to build the software we have built over the last 15 years. So with the workflow, we are more or less offering the industry a product agnostic and machine agnostic workflow. Now, there are elements we still need to develop, and there are elements that we still need to build. But if you listen to, for example, ESP was quoted in the press release, the speed with which we are developing Gelato workflow, Gelato Connect workflow, is so fast that Simon, who is the CEO at ESP, has never seen anything like it in the industry. So don't take my word for it, but reach out to Simon and ask. On top of that, our vision is to bring the whole workflow into this. You should basically be able to run your production hubs and surveil everything that is going on in the production hub. And if you have plenty, like Simon, he has 5 in the UK, you can wake up in the morning and you can see procurement status. You can see how many parcels were shipped yesterday. You can see how many orders came in this morning. You can see where you risk running out of supply in the procurement department. And then you have one software to manage all of your machines and all of your products. That is really the power of Gelato Connect, to bring procurement, workflow, and logistics into one single software service.
How does Gelato Connect fit into those production workflows that the print service providers have today? Does it replace everything else, or does it fit together in some way?
Well, I wish, you know, the discussion would be less like polarizing. I think your question is totally valid, but and I understand why you ask it. But let's go to the printers and ask. Let's change the question, and we ask: are you satisfied with the workflow solutions you have today? Question one. Question two: how does your existing workflow solution link to the whole value chain? The procurement, the automatic fulfillment of new orders, filling up your warehouses, the machine agnostic, the product agnostic workflow, and then how does it link to the logistics side of your business? I think the best way of answering is to quote Simon at ESP, and he says that Gelato Connect stands at the forefront, revolutionizing the print industry. Gelato Connect ensures my machines are seamlessly integrated into one intuitive application, providing real-time insights into my equipment, packaging, and carrier performance? Gelato software is poised to redefine our industry. I am witnessing tangible improvements in our production efficiency and cost base in real time. And we had McKinsey. We did a big project last year, almost running for a quarter, 3 months, with McKinsey. They surveyed 92 printers, 37 of ours, and the rest were non-Gelato. Their conclusion was that if you roll out Gelato Connect across all three modules, the procurement, the workflow, and the carrier, your bottom line will estimated improve 3 to 7 percentage points. Meaning, if you do 5% today on bottom line, if you move to Gelato Connect across procurement, workflow, and logistic, you can move that from 5 to 8 to 12 percentage points on bottom line. You can basically double, if you earn 5% on bottom line, you can basically double if you move to Gelato Connect. We already have a situation. After we sent the press release, we signed 5 new deals yesterday. We already have a situation where I am concerned not about the demand, I'm concerned about onboarding. I'm concerned about getting all of them activated. I call that a luxury problem, but it's a real problem still. So I don't want to come to the industry pointing fingers or trying to exclaim a truth. I want to come to this industry saying, we have 140 really highly professional production partners. Over 100 of them are using Gelato Connect daily now, and they want it on their non-Gelato orders. That's not me saying it. And so I think some of these questions should be directed to the industry and should be directed to the production partners. But I am very excited about the growth opportunity, above everything else, of our print partners. Because I believe that the demand generation that we help them sort out, the efficiency from A to Z, from procurement, workflow, and logistics, leading to higher profitability, that is going to fuel this industry and its growth.
That was a good answer to my question. And I mean, if you have a good solution that works and is great, then people will like it and adapt to it.
Just one question, one comment there also, Ola. If you think about what is this industry's biggest problem, I think personally that the biggest problem is that many production partners, many printers, believe that they can do a lot in-house, too much in-house. They can do software development, they can tweak existing workflow software, they can buy all these machines, they can run offset parallel to digital, they can sort out the carrier networks. And like, at some point, all industries have gone through a transition when demand has shifted. Let's go back to the basics. Demand has gone from macro orders to micro, from analog to personal, from local to global. How do you manage your printing, your production in that environment? The growth opportunity lies if we learn how to cooperate efficiently. And the growth opportunities are always positively correlated to your ability to see what you're really, really, really good at. So the more you understand of your core competence, the bigger growth opportunities you stand before. And that's what I hope Gelato Connect, because we are a software company, that's what I hope Gelato Connect will bring to the industry. An understanding of Gelato is a software company. They have spent 15 years building this, and they have connected the workflow to procurement and logistics. It is a full value chain.
How about other softwares at the print service providers, like the CRM systems and the economy systems, and how does they fit into this, or do they fit into this?
It's a great question. So the value of integrations and working together is also applicable for us at Gelato. I don't think that we are world-class at building accounting systems. I don't think we're world-class at building warehouse logistics systems. But we are really good at identifying the ones that are world-class. And so yesterday, we signed with a Spanish printer. And together with this Spanish printer, we signed both the Gelato Connect Logistics and Gelato Connect Workflow, and that's where we are starting now. This printer is now guiding us to the two most important software vendors on accounting and procurement in the workflow system. So then we will not go and say, oh, we're going to replicate that. We are going to copy that. No, we go and say, please send an introduction to this company because we would like to integrate them into Gelato Connect's workflow. Again, I think that as the sooner we understand that working together makes 1 + 1 = 5, and by trying to do everything inside and on your own, 1 + 1 = 0.5. There is a tremendous growth opportunity in this industry if we just learn what am I really good at and what do I need to outsource. And also, if you speak about the machine vendors and they have built their workflows, I mean, if you have a machine vendor A, are they going to start focusing on building a workflow for the machine A? Or are they going to focus on, I am going to build a really good workflow for the machine vendor B, C, and D, and I am going to skip my own machines? So there is a natural explanation to why the existing workflows live in isolation. The machine vendors are focusing on their machines. I think we need to redefine the industry's problem. The industry's problem, I believe, is demand generation first and foremost. Then it's how to effectively distribute in a standardized, profitable way that demand. And then thirdly, linking it to the local mega cities across the planet. If we solve that, it doesn't matter how you define yourself or what name you put on your company, you are part of the demand generation. You're part of the transition from macro to micro, from central to local, and from analog to personal. And those are the mega factors that will drive this industry forward. We are a software company that connects creators and makers across the whole planet into one global marketplace. We do that through software. That's who we are. And as I said, the big, big, big challenge for this industry going forward is how do you generate demand? And how does that demand become standardized and produced with profitability in mega cities across our planet? And how does that production and distribution propel our common vision when it comes to sustainability and the reduction of carbon emission? You know, some people say that strategy is like something that explains where to win and how to win in 7, 8, 9 words. And our strategy, if you think about Gelato, it is local production for the global e-commerce industry. And that's 7 words. That is how we win and where we win.
If you got curious about this, during this getting close to 1 hour talk, where can I learn more? I see you coming to Drupa.
Yeah, so we are in Hall 9 at Drupa. We have already a number of sales meetings planned with visitors, the interest so far from Gelato Connect for Gelato Connect is exceeding my expectations. We are going to prioritize our existing partners, but we will do whatever we can to accommodate also for everyone to meet our team. Our stand is next to Landa. I think we will have some joint sessions with the machine vendors also present there, the larger machine vendors. And we're excited to have daily happy hours where we will serve gelato.
Gelato.
Yeah, which is ice cream then for those that might not know Italian. And we'll also have fireside chats with interesting, prominent thought leaders and thinkers in this industry, but also outside this industry. We're thinking about inviting people from the creator economy, again, coming back to demand generation. Also, just general business people that have done investments in exciting companies, such as Shopify, Spotify, Trustpilot, Zendesk, people that come from the tech world and why they're interested in our world, in the digital print industry. So we hope to be able to share knowledge, meet our team, and give you an insight in what Gelato Connect could mean to you.
I was happy to see that you are joining Drupa. Before you have kind of stayed away from those big events in the print industry.
Yeah.
But now you are really 100% in.
Well, my late father, he said that empty barrels makes the most noise. So if you speak before you deliver, it's not good karma. So, you know, also we've had this discussion several times before, Ola. We have not grown because we have overpromised in the media. We have grown because we build and then we communicate. And now we've built, and so it's time to communicate.
Great. You will also do a keynote at Drupa. I think that most people visiting Drupa don't know about that they also have conferences. Most people focus on visiting their suppliers on the floor, but there is also a big conference or several big conferences, and you will be a keynote speaker at one of them.
Yeah, and that keynote will be about the creator economy, the macro forces, explaining the growth opportunities, but also going into the millennials and the Gen Zs. Because, you know, I was at Online Print Symposium in Munich the other week, and I spoke to, I think there were like very good event, by the way, but I spoke to 300 people representing the industry. And I told them that, you know, we need to understand the next generations. They are the future consumer. They are the driver of digital print products. And so I then asked, how many here are born before 1980? And you can picture the amount of people born before 1980. So the point is, we also need to understand our consumers, and we need to understand the future demand. So that's what I will speak about, and then some more nuggets coming in addition to that.
Okay, exciting. So one good reason to go to Drupa then is to visit you in Hall 9, I guess.
Absolutely, and get some free ice cream and a good chat with our team members.
Yeah, great. So one last question. What's your favorite ice cream?
Well, it depends, but I believe it's Gelato Connect.
So, Henrik, it was a pleasure having you as a guest in the podcast again, and hope to do it sooner than in 3 or 4 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you.